And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, March the 15th, 2018, 12 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program here on WWGH Radio. I am Scott Spears. Big day here on WWGH Radio. Coming up at 1:15, it was 12:15, but it'll be at 1:15, so stay tuned. Today, David Newell, who you probably remember best as Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the postman, will be on with us via telephone at 1:15 today to make a big announcement concerning the station and himself that you will not want to miss. 1:15 today, so don't miss that. Tonight, the League of Women Voters of Marion is having a Speed Date Your Local Leaders event. It will be at the Marion Senior Center, which is at 2375 Harding Highway East. This starts at 6:30 p.m. It will last until 8:30. What will happen is there will be tables, and there will be community leaders at this event, and I will tell you who they will be here in a second. You will have 7 minutes with each community leader to ask them anything you want, and then after 7 minutes, you will move to the next leader. You can ask them, as I say, any question that's on your mind. I will be the host for this event tonight, but the community leaders that you will have the chance to talk to will be Police Chief Bill Collins, Common Pleas Drug Court Judge Jim Slagle, County Commissioner Ken Stiverson, Sheriff Tim Bailey, Mayor Scott Schertzer, Downtown Marion's Clarissa Myers, Hitachi Robotics Rich Ramey, Intermodal Industries Ted Graham, Marion Community Foundation's Dean Jacob, and Marion Matters' Heidi Jones. Now, as I said, as we've been plugging away at this event for the last 2 weeks, again, that's tonight, Thursday, March the 15th at 6:30, I did not know a whole lot about Marion Matters, so Terry Tackett, one of our other managers here at the station, is a friend of Heidi Jones, who will be there tonight at the big event, is a part of Marion Matters, and he invited her on, and she is here with us today. Heidi, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Marion Matters, let's start here. What is the group? How would you define it?
So we are a community movement, and what we are here to do, we're a local nonprofit. We're funded by local funds only, which is really cool. It's also scary sometimes when you're locally funded, but we're proud partners of the United Way. We also receive the Robert and Dorothy Wopat funds from the Marion Community Foundation. The Rotary Foundation of Marion supports our youth curriculum, and we have one fundraiser a year, which is coming up in August. And other than that, our hospital is huge. Ohio Health is a major supporter of us. They've supported us from our inception, and I'll kind of give you a little bit of that history as we talk a little bit. But what we're here to do is really help change lives of people in our community. And so I don't know, some people are familiar with Bridges Out of Poverty. Bridges basically tells us that whether you're born in poverty, middle class, or wealth, there are some unspoken rules or norms that go with each economic class. They're all very different. And in order to move from one economic class to another, you'd have to have knowledge of those hidden rules. And so for us, we work with people who are struggling in poverty, or what we call daily instability, who, you know, maybe have limited resources. So we don't define poverty as a money issue. Poverty is defined as the extent to which someone does without resources. That really opens up that definition, allows us to come up with a plan to work on something. And that plan is to really help people in Marion build resources that help them have a better future picture.
So who would be a good candidate for a visit to Marion Matters?
Sure. We get referrals, so I will throw that out there. We're a referral-based business. So anyone that you come across who gets up every day, takes two steps forward, three steps back, but has that drive every day to get up and take a whack at life again. You know, I get up every day, taking those two steps, I may end up three steps back, but I don't give up. Someone who struggles in generational poverty or situational poverty, there's a difference in the two. Generational says, my parents, my grandparents lived in poverty, and I live in poverty as well. Situational says, maybe I was victim of one of the D's, death, divorce, disaster, drugs, things like that, that caused me to be in a situation that I've never been in before. So I'm struggling. I'm trying to figure out how to make ends meet, how to get ahead in life. And coincidentally, that is the name of our core curriculum. It's called Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World. And it really helps people who struggle with daily instability take a look at where they are and then everything in between so that they can put a plan together for where they want to be. So a good candidate is someone who does that, who has that drive, who's trying to figure out how to do that, who maybe goes back a few steps and they keep figuring out what's happening. Why can't I seem to get ahead? And it's those barriers, those hidden rules that make that happen. Something else that we require is that someone be at least free of drug or alcohol for at least 1 year. And the reason for that is we want them to get the help that they need to take care of that so that they can openly receive all of the information that we're going to be throwing out there for them. And then the other component is just someone also, if they've got a mental health illness or issue that they haven't addressed, we would prefer that they address that first and then join us. But if someone feels like, gosh, I'm in that situation, I keep getting up, I go the three steps backwards, come see us, even if they don't have the clean time yet, or they're struggling with that mental health illness, because we can still connect them with some resources so that they can get those things taken care of and then join us for the Getting Ahead experience.
You know, it's mentioned, it's interesting you mentioned the mental health and staying clean part of this program, mm-hmm. because the thing I hear time and time again from people who have dealt with their addictions and are dealing with them and are maybe not using at this particular point is that it's hard for them to find a job because maybe they have been convicted of something when they were doing those things that are not legal. And I don't know of many places on your application that don't ask if you've been a felon, if you have done such and such. How do you work out of that?
So there are a couple of resources, and I do want to mention that we had years ago a team of people who worked. They were called a felony assistance action team, and it was that very thing. Gosh, we've gone to jail, we've done our time. Now we're out here trying to make a living, but doors are kind of slammed in our faces. So sometimes, as a society, we help people go backwards. Sometimes, because we don't have anything to offer them, but we're fortunate enough to have a mindset here in our community where people are starting to take a look at that and say, maybe there is a workforce we're missing because we've put these policies and procedures in place. So I know over the last few years, at least five since I've been the director of Marion Matters, that our felony assistance team worked with the city of Marion. Our mayor was very supportive of this. And one of the things that the city and county does, I don't know if you're familiar with the Ban the Box movement, where you take that felony box off from applications, but some of the jobs within our city and county, due to the work of our felony assistance team, along with the help of the mayor, they took those boxes off with the city jobs or the county jobs. Not all of them, some because of the nature of what they're doing, maybe Parks and Rec may have to have that on there just for safety of the community. But they can apply, not have that box to check, obviously be honest if ever asked about their past, but then they have the opportunity to present themselves as who they are today. And I think a lot of companies are starting to take a look at that. We also work with the VOTA staffing. Shannon Millard is amazing. She helps place people in second chance companies. So if you do have a felony or things like that, she works with companies that would give someone a chance. And so we're happy that she's doing that. She cares about our community so much, and we're happy to partner with her on things like that.
You know, I think if you're doing well financially, and you're at a job that you like, you probably don't feel any struggle, I would say, in your life day to day. So it seems to always start financially. Even if there's an underlying cause, being a convicted felon, maybe having a drug abuse problem in the past, or just maybe having more kids and your husband leaves, or husband dies, or wife leaves, or wife dies, it always seems to start in the financial area. And I need to fix this problem quickly. so if they come with a financial problem, the person, how is that dealt with? I mean, obviously, better jobs. What is available?
So for us, I'll kind of explain a little bit how our process goes and where that financial piece fits in. So when someone is referred to us, we call them, we have them come in. Sometimes they're working, sometimes they're not. You know, it's a little easier to help direct them when they do have a job, because that does open up a resource that's pretty important in our lives, right? We have to have money to live in the world, right? So they come talk to us. We try to figure out where they're at. What is it that you're wanting to accomplish, and how can we best serve you? And so a lot of our folks, they are working, but maybe the jobs just aren't paying enough. So we, as they go through getting ahead, they do a lot of self-reflection. We are an agenda-free program. So we have our curriculum, Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World, but we all sit sort of at a kitchen table discussion. It's very relaxed. We're all learning together. Me as a facilitator, I don't have all the answers. I'm there just to make sure we get through the curriculum in the time that we're allotted. And so for us, you know, as we're starting, as you know, maybe you're a referral, you sit down, you're taking a look at your life where it is now, you're looking at the different causes of poverty, you're looking at resources, you're looking at hidden rules, and then you do a self-assessment. So you're going to, it's like a strengths test. So as you kind of walk through those resources and you get to that financial resource and figure out, gosh, this is my lowest resource, then we put plans together to build that. Oftentimes, it's starting with getting a job, or how can I get a better job? Where's my skill set? Do I need to continue my education to build a skill set that helps me really compete for the well-paying jobs? Or, you know, do I just need to brush up my resume, get some things on there, and put myself out there? And so that's kind of how it starts. So it's with that self-assessment, and then we address the need. And then what we do is help use the strengths that a person has to really elevate the weaknesses that they have. So we partner with, you know, once we go through Getting Ahead, we partner with other agencies here for our transitions class. One of those partners happens to be Goodwill. They help with master applications and resumes. We also partner with the schools here, so Marion Technical College and Ohio State University. So we really start to help them figure out why it is they don't have the well-paying job, and can we kind of direct them there? So that's sort of how we'll start, is that self-assessment. And if that is a low resource, we want to get that taken care of right away by helping them get the resume, going back to school, and then connecting them. We work really well with Ohio Means Jobs. Annette Walton is amazing over there. She's sort of our point of contact. She helps lots of our folks really assess their skills and directs them and guides them into a job that best fits them.
Do we have a caller on the line? Are you there, caller? Nope, we might have lost you. If that was you, give us a call back. We will take the call, 740-383-9944. Sorry we didn't get to you, but if you want to call back in, or if you have a question, 740-383-9944, and we will get you on the air live here. College, is that a big part of it?
I think people who struggle with daily instability, they see education as valuable. They see college as valuable, but it's very abstract. So it's this institution over here that almost seems out of reach. So once we talk with them, and with our partnership through Marion Technical College, Tony Box, who works in admissions, he sort of breaks down the process and helps them understand that it is obtainable. And I think the problem is that the population that we work with, they feel like they have no opportunity. So it's our job to say to them, you have just as much opportunity as the next guy, and we're going to make sure that you hear about those opportunities. And so for them, college seems unattainable because it's abstract. I don't even know where to begin. No one in my family's ever gone to college. And so last year, we had 22% of our participants enroll in higher education due to our partnerships here in the community.
I believe we do have a call here. You are on the air with Heidi Jones from Marion Matters.
Thanks, Scott. Adam here with a very quick telephone call. Heidi, just want to say what I think you're doing is awesome. We need more people like you, and we can't just solve the drug problem and the underemployment issues with a magic wand, but the way you guys help out the community, giving up your time, being overworked and underpaid, is wonderful, and I wish every city in Ohio had what you guys do, and I'm just very impressed in listening. I just want to give you a big thumbs up, and thanks for helping out the community.
Hey, thanks, Adam.
No problem, Scott. Thanks for doing such a wonderful show as always.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And again, the telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What do people not know about themselves? Because I would think everybody wants to do better.
Mm-hmm.
What do people not know when they come in?
So what I'll say is this. We all bring our own experience to the table. So just to kind of give everyone maybe something that we didn't know, our work and school settings are based under the understanding that everybody comes from middle class. So we know exactly what to do when we get to work. We know exactly what to do when we get to school. But that isn't a true statement, because if I've come from poverty, especially generational poverty, I'm bringing my experience to work and school with me every day. So I may struggle because I'm living out of sort of my hidden rules. And so I think the biggest part is people not understanding that I've sort of lived under the hidden rules. And we all have them. There are hidden rules in our households. There are hidden rules at our office. I mean, at our office, for example, there are no signs that say this is so-and-so's parking spot, but we sort of know where everyone parks, right? So if I come to work and someone's in my parking spot that happens to not be labeled as my spot, I'm going, wow, someone's parking in my spot. So they've broken, quote-unquote, a hidden rule, right? It's easy to break a rule if we don't know that it's there. So the things that we want to talk about in our community in order to help one another, we have to understand all economic classes and the experience that they bring to the table. And in order for us to have solutions that work for all of us in our community where everyone can live well, we have to have all Freds at the table. And I don't mean a bunch of guys named Fred. I mean the Fred from poverty, the Fred from middle class, and the Fred from wealth. We all have to be at decision-making tables in our community if we want solutions that work for everyone. Now, never do we ask someone to lower an expectation because of the economic class that someone comes from. But what we do ask is that you offer a different path to get there. So not everyone gets to just walk straight up the ladder and ta-da, I'm successful, right? Sometimes we have to jump off the ladder, get back on the ladder. Sometimes we have to get rid of that ladder altogether, find another way to kind of pull ourselves out of our situation. So what we want are just solutions that work for everyone. And, you know, the biggest thing with us is when people understand, when they come in and go, I didn't realize, now that makes sense why I struggled. It's understanding how to communicate across those economic class lines. And just as much as our community has prejudgments or stereotypes for people who are in poverty, oftentimes we hear they're lazy or they just need to get a job. But the true fact of the matter is, people in poverty are amazing problem solvers. They get up every day dealing with things that people from middle class don't deal with. I mean, typical day, let's walk that out. If I'm in middle class, it's probably safe to say that my electricity's on, my water is on, I probably have a dependable vehicle to get me to and from work, and if my dependable vehicle doesn't work, I can probably call AAA, or I may even have a backup, right? So people in poverty, let's walk that out. Sometimes, if they don't have the means to pay bills, their electricity could be off. So maybe their alarm didn't go off because they didn't have the electricity to power that. Maybe the water isn't on. Maybe they don't have reliable transportation, and today they go out and the car won't start. They don't call AAA, they call Uncle Ray, right? So if Uncle Ray is a resource to them and he's unavailable, gosh, they may not be able to get to work that day. Now, never do we lower the expectation. We know that they need to get to work. But what are some ways that could help them? You know, could we as businesses, knowing that we have to run the business, turnover is costly to us, we want everyone to come to work, could we maybe say, why is it that we've addressed the situation, or how is it that we've addressed the situation about attendance, yet you're still late? And then they rattle off all these things. And as a business, most of us don't have time to go, well, I sympathize or empathize with you, but I need you to be to work. We could say, is there someone maybe you could carpool with? So again, didn't lower the expectation, need them to get to work, but maybe here's a different path to get them there. Maybe the guy that works around the corner from them lives in their neighborhood, and maybe they could carpool. So what we want is to bring awareness of we all bring our own experience to the table. So just because our work and school settings operate under those middle class rules or norms doesn't mean that everybody understands those. So we need to make things a little more clear, and then we need to offer solutions for people who maybe don't have the resources to just come in like the middle class person does. So those are just some of the things that we talk about and work on.
Not to get into any politics here, but I think this story is one that always fascinates me. I interviewed somebody one time. I can't remember who it was, but they knew President Reagan very well. And they said he grew up during the Depression. He went into broadcasting. He took advantage of social programs that were created that time because of the Depression under President Roosevelt. But later on in his life, when he became president, he would veto bills on welfare, on spending, on poverty issues. He was not very proactive when it came to that. But it would be said that if somebody came to his office, a person who could not eat that night, he would give them money. He would give them the shirt off his back, but turn around and not deal with the problem in a political structure. And I always found that to be an interesting problem, because I think some way that exists in all communities is I think we have good people dealing with these problems, but I think in some way, and I think personally, if it's their friend or just a stranger who came up and said, I haven't eaten today, I think they would buy them lunch. But I think there's a weird thing that overall, big picture, they don't see it that way. And that's not just politicians. It's just people in the community in general. When you talked about, they're lazy, oh, they're just this, not necessarily true.
Not true at all. And the people that I get the privilege and honor to work with are fighters. And that's the one thing that I think our community needs to know. People here in Marion, they want to do better. They want to have the well-paying jobs. But what's happened over the years is that we've not gotten the opportunity before them to take action or take advantage of the opportunity. And so I think as a community, we've gotten better at that. And we know that the way that we've always done things isn't the way we always should do things. I think lots of leaders are starting to adapt different policies here in Marion. We have a wonderful community. The community of Marion, I couldn't be more happy to live here. I've lived here my whole life. And now I'm actually, you know, having the opportunity to meet with people. And I think the overall, tone of this community is that people want it to be better. So right from our leaders down to the people every day who are working to survive, we need to build relationship. And that's what it's all about. We want a community of achievers, but we don't start with relationship. And I think that's where we're missing out sometimes, because people who struggle with daily instability, they are in what we call tyranny of the moment, and they depend on relationships to survive. So if we want them to achieve, we have to meet them where they are. We have to build those relationships. We have to let them know that opportunities are there and that they aren't fated, that just because their life has been this way doesn't mean that it has to be, and they do have some choice, and they most definitely should have a say in where their future goes. And, you know, I think we're all combating a broken system. The system has failed us. You know, we set people up to fail. And so what we need to really start instilling in our community is the pride of doing it yourself. Now, we know that on the hierarchy of human needs, safe and secure is right up there. So if someone receives benefits and that keeps them safe and secure, I can understand why they want to stay on the benefits. But we as a community need to start supporting them in their journey of coming off from those benefits and moving into of a more middle-class lifestyle. And the more support we have in our community, the better off we're going to be. And these folks who are struggling every day to make ends meet, if they know that they have support, that people aren't going to judge them, that people say, I see you and I understand your struggle and I'm here to help. I'm not here to do something for you that you're able to do for yourself, but I will most certainly walk alongside you as you learn how to do it and offer the support when you have questions, when you have issues or things like that. That's where we're at as a community. And we're all moving towards, I think, the same goal, but we have to start with relationship. That's key.
You know, it's fascinating to me because one thing that has always baffled me is there are many senior citizens who work past the age of 65, but they no longer maybe work full-time hours. Some do, but some don't. I don't know anybody who has turned down Social Security at 65 and said, don't give that to me. Now, we don't look at somebody who's taking that supplement like we look at somebody who maybe is 30 and is working, but just needs extra help with their rent or their food or whatever it is. That's looked on as a bad thing, in a way. And then there are the third group, which is people who are disabled in some way, maybe back injuries, leg injuries. They can't do the job they used to do. They get a disability check. That's not looked at. Social Security and disability are not looked at like welfare and, let's say, food stamps are. And I've always found that strange because not all people who take advantage of those programs are sitting at home.
That's a true statement. They're working, and they just fall short sometimes. And I think we've all, maybe, I mean, if you're fortunate enough to have never had to have fallen short, amazing. That's great, and we're so proud of you. But not everybody has that. That's not everyone's experience. And so I think, again, as I mentioned, it's a broken system. You know, we do set people up to fail. But I think we're starting to realize that and understand that, that people do want to work. Now, will I say that, that we hit a home run every time we go to bat? That everybody that we come across just, you know, once they have that getting ahead experience, move through transitions and things like that, that they go out there and they just run with it? No. But that doesn't mean that we should stop going up to bat. And there are lots of people who want better for themselves and for the legacies of their families. So to discount them is truly unfair.
How do we set people up to fail?
So we offer benefits that they become dependent upon. I mean, when I say broken system, like welfare and things like that, when I talked about safe and secure, we know we're safe and secure if we're getting the benefit to help us with food, maybe to help us with a little bit of cash for things that we need. Maybe it's our health insurance, things like that. So when we as a society have those things to offer, which I'm not saying they're bad at all, so I want to go on the record for that, not that these things are bad because people need them, but people do start to depend on those subsidies. And when that begins to happen, people now feel safe and secure. So if we say to them, hey, wouldn't you like to maybe figure out how to pay for these things on your own? Or wouldn't you like to go back to school so you can get the better paying job? Well, what happens is as they start to make more money, benefits start to slip. Now, what happens is they don't make enough money to cover all of those things, but things do start to go. And so when we say to someone, just go get a job and things will be better, safe and secure starts to slip away. And so what we want to do is help folks in our community reach self-sufficiency, letting them know that there are these things that can help you while you're on that journey to self-sufficiency, but we don't want you to rely on them solely. And so that's sort of what I mean by that. Did I answer your question?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I believe the last census was taken, and I don't have a copy in front of me, but I can only speak to Marion County because that's where I am, that's where you are. About 65,000 people in the county, 32,000 people in the city, and I believe the average household income was something like between 32 and 35 thousand. Not high at all. And these are people working. So I look at that number and I think that's the majority of people in town. That's how you get an average, because we are including those people who make 80,000, 100,000, and there are millionaires in Marion County. That's including them. That's an average. So I'm always confused because sometimes, and I'm not singling anybody out here, but I think I look at boards of directors and I look at things and I see a lot of the same people, and it's not the people who are having the problem. So I don't know if the people who aren't having the problem are the best people to solve the problem.
I agree. And one thing I will say, we have a board of directors and we take pride in the fact that graduates of our program are on our board. Because all Freds, again, need to be at the decision-making table. I think we have wonderful people in Marion who you do see on various boards, and God bless them because they're willing to step up and do the job. So it's our job as a community to educate them on what the issues are. And I think part of, Marion Matters, it's to raise awareness, to advocate for those people who are trying. And I think if we go back to understanding those hidden rules and understanding that we all bring our own experience to the table, now I can meet you where you are. I may not have to agree with your rules or your experience, but I can appreciate and I can value that experience, and we can work together and put all those titles, stereotypes outside the door. Now we're people sitting down together at a table working on solutions in the community that are going to work well for everybody and not just a particular group.
You know, one of the sad things I've always seen is that those people who are stereotyped for whatever reason, if you go to them and you say, I need somebody to pull this float, I need somebody to build a sign holder. I need somebody to paint this area. Those people are usually the first to volunteer. Those people are usually the people who do it the best. And I always thought that was a reflection of people don't ask their opinion. People don't talk to them. I think all people want in this life is to be heard. Not agreed with, not always. It's nice to be agreed with. It's nice that, but just to be, yes, I hear you. I may not agree with what you're saying, but I understand what you're saying. And we don't do a whole lot of that.
Yeah, that's where the relationship piece that I mentioned earlier comes in. We have to start getting to know people because, like I said, the people that I get the privilege of working with, they are very smart, they are problem solvers, and they want to do the right thing. You know, our vision as Marion Matters is that all people of Marion County would have the opportunity to reach their true potential. Opportunity is the key word. There are lots of great things going on in our community, but not everyone gets knowledge of those opportunities. And so that's part of what we do. And, you know, our mission here is to provide leadership in developing and sustaining pathways out of poverty through education and support. So we have, as Marion Matters, we have that education component down pat. You know, I mentioned getting ahead in a just getting by world. We also have a transitions class that allows people to explore college and career. And then we do a financial literacy class as well. So there's some education. I'm learning something that I didn't know before. And now I know that I have choice. I can continue down the path I was going, and I kind of have a picture of what that's going to look like. But now that I've learned that there are hidden rules, and maybe I needed that, that was the key piece to help me succeed at work. And maybe it's just, you know, working through conflict at work with the supervisor, whereas, you know, we should use our language to negotiate. But if that was my weakest resource was my language, I'm probably going to struggle because I'm not feeling heard at work. I'm going to use nonverbals. I'm going to use casual language, things like that. But now that I know that I can do different, I can change that, and then I can create this different picture. So it's really making sure that those people who want to do better know that there's opportunity for them to do better. And then the support piece of that mission comes from our community. We get a support. I shared financially where we get support from, but we also, this year, or 2017, Marion Matters created the Marion Area Employer Resource Network. We were one of two cities in Ohio to offer ERN first. So it was us and Toledo. We were neck and neck on who was the first one to get our ERN up and running. And ERN allows businesses, we know that turnover is costly for a business. And most turnover is not because of HR-related issues. It's those non-HR-related things. So businesses can buy a share of our success coach who comes and works on-site with their employees to help them maintain employment. So all those non-HR-related things, like my car broke down, I don't have childcare, you know, utilities are being turned off, that sometimes I can physically be at work, but mentally I'm thinking about all the woes that I have at home. Our success coach can work them through that, keep them on the job, increases retention with our businesses, and increases productivity while the people are there. That's support. So people of Marion, business owners, if you're struggling with turnover and it's typically because of non-HR related issues, contact the Marion Matters office. We would love to have our success coach come out. Currently in the Marion area ERN, Ohio Health is one of our businesses, Anderson Windows and Doors, Marion Industries, and Kingston of Marion just signed on to be a part of our ERN. So that's support. That's putting your money where your mouth is and saying, gosh, we've dealt with turnover for years. Nothing we seem to be doing is working. Maybe this is an alternative. Maybe this is a way to help us. So again, support from the community as part of our mission as well.
You know, it's funny you mention travel in that because Marion is not a bus town. We're not a train town. We're not a cab town. And we're also not a town, really, where a lot of people could bicycle or walk to their job, certainly not in the winter months. And it's always interesting to me how just a tiny thing, like a car breaking down, blowing a transmission, something where that car is not going to work, can really start a downhill spiral that is catastrophic. Because if you can't get to work, you might have somebody who will take you for a week, but they're not going to keep on. And in a week, if you're living hand to mouth, you're not going to have the money to buy a car. And if you don't have good credit, which is a lot of people, well, you're really up the river.
Yeah, I mean, and resources are interconnected. You know, just as you said, one issue with your vehicle, you know, you you can't afford it. You don't have the money, the financial resource to pay for it. You lose your job, which further inhibits your financial resource. You know, you don't have that support team that can help get you to and from work. So it's all sort of interconnected. So, you know, that's a part of what we do, is really helping people build all of their resources, because it does no good to have one really strong resource. We feel there are 11 resources that tie us to our situation. Financial's one of them, but it's also having a great emotional resource. I don't know about you, but sometimes I act based on the way that I feel. And I think that's an issue with everyone. So we need to get our emotional responses down. We also need to have that mobility, you know, a physical mobility to get to and from work. So we have to look at resources overall and not just say, you know, let's give someone money and that'll take care of everything, because not a true statement. If we don't have the mental cognitive skill to manage the money when we get it, we're going to revert back to our hidden rule. And by the way, in poverty, the hidden rule on money is, when I have it, I need to spend it because I don't know when I'm going to get it again. And so we have to start addressing each of these resources at that level, because one thing could set someone back.
I am a longtime curious person, which is a nice way of saying nosy. I think that's the nicest way you say it. But what I always look at, and what has always fascinated me, because something you said when we first started I thought was fascinating, born into the class that you are in. I've always thought that was true, but from a little different connotation, that when I look at people who are successful, I'll take Marion, and I'm, you know, no names, but when I look at somebody who's doing well in property, when I look at somebody who's doing well in a business, when I look at somebody who maybe is just getting by, but they own a property, or they're doing okay, they have some expendable income, I always look and I always think, their father or mother helped them get their first property. Their father or mother has helped them when they've been sick. Their father or money has loaned them money. Now they paid it back, but they had the money to loan. I don't think these people realize that the people who are struggling maybe never had a father or mother who could do that for them. So I think it's just a whole different setup.
It really is. And one of the things that we talk about is that very thing in the Getting Ahead experience. We talk about the creation of middle class. We talk about how middle class shrinks and what that does to the rest of the economic classes. But one thing we do talk about is, how did we get our start? You know, did we have someone who passed something down to us? Or did we have someone who has been in generational poverty, the grandparent, the parent, and now me? So they've passed that down. So just as someone can pass down a property or help someone obtain a property, they can also pass down just the opposite, the struggle. And so I think it's important for all of us to understand how we got our start, where that came from, because I think it helps us sort of put that little map together. Now, had my parents known what I'm learning today, could that trajectory have changed? Could my life be different? Most definitely. Now, let's look at it this way. Here's the present. So maybe I was fortunate enough to have something passed down for me. So now I want to preserve that so I can pass it down to the next generation. But if I've been that person who has had really nothing but maybe bad luck passed down to me, how do I change the trajectory for my family? So not only does the work that we do through Getting Ahead change my mindset today, but it's going to change the future for my whole family. And so it's important for us to understand where we came from so that we can really get a picture of where we are presently, and then be able to paint that picture of how I get to where I want to be.
You know, something that is always a factoid that's come to me that has always staggered me is, besides the obvious, which is medical care, something sometimes that people who have more money can afford than people who don't, leaving that aside, people who don't have a lot of money, or who when they retire have to live in the assisted living units, if you make it to that point, those people, in studies I've read, seem to be happier and live longer than somebody who has a lot of money. And that's curious to me, and I don't know if that's because they finally reached a point where they don't have to work so hard anymore, and they're happy and they can relax, and nothing changes for the person who has always been in that position. Like I said, medicals are tougher, more difficult for people who don't have money, but I think it's highly fascinating that it has always been that people with less money always seem to be happier in these studies that are done. And that's peculiar to me.
Sure. And I don't know that I have an answer to why that might be, but I think, you know, a lot of what you said, it's maybe now that they've reached the point where they've raised their children and they have just themselves to worry about. And, you know, maybe they are getting some other income in there that makes it a little bit easier, things like that. I'm not sure that I have a good answer for that. But, you know, we're going to walk through all of that through the course of the Getting Ahead experience. And we call it an experience instead of a class because people who have gone through Getting Ahead say, this is more than a class. A class says I come, I read a book, I learn something, and, you know, maybe I can use that for the greater good. But Getting Ahead is an experience that changed my life. Learning about the hidden rules, learning about building my resources, learning about what was available in my community, that made all the difference in me because I do have a choice now, and I feel that I'm not fated. And, you know, I'm moving forward for the sake of my family. And so they're going to walk through all of those pieces and be able to sort of put that together.
Yeah, and I think in general, this sounds tremendous. Now, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
So we have an office here in Marion. We're located at 790 Kenton Avenue. We're right in front of the Marion Community Credit Union, and actually, we're in their old building. And so I do want to give a thank you to them because we are in that building rent-free. And so they have let us be in that building for the last 5 years, even longer, and they are a huge supporter of what we do. So we're fortunate enough to have, again, those local roots who really want to look at root issues, systemic issues, and not Band-Aid, you know, something. So we're grateful for that partnership. But 790 Kenton Avenue, stop and see us. We're there Monday through Thursday from 9:30 to 4:30. We are closed on Fridays. You can call us. The office number is 740-223-2999. And of course, we're on social media, both on Facebook and Instagram. On Facebook, we're Marion Matters, Inc. And I think same thing on Instagram. So check us out. You'll find information about us there. We are working on a website, and the goal is to have that up and running by the end of this year. But great ways, stop by the office, call the office, check us out on Facebook. You can always send us a message, and we get back with you pretty quickly.
In the years you've been there, is compliance and success, have you seen a lot of that?
Oh, my goodness, yes. So I'll share a couple of stories,
yeah,
and I love talking about our participants because they are why I do what I do. I'm fortunate enough to get to work with them, and when I see them just really rise and shine, it really warms my heart. I mean, we've seen people. One very successful person here in our community, you know, had been in trouble with the law, got a felony by age 12, got pregnant at an early age, had a second child, ended up spending the first 3 years of the child's life incarcerated, got out of prison, learned about Marion Matters. They were paired with an ally, we call them a Bridges ally, someone who's gone through the Bridges Out of Poverty training and sort of helps them as they're maneuvering these middle class systems. She had gotten a job as a secretary here. The ally said, "You're extremely intelligent. You should go back to school." Before, didn't think that was an option for her. She went to college. She got her bachelor's degree. She's doing reentry work here in Marion. And she's also an author of a book called Getting Ahead While Getting Out. So what she did was took her experience with Getting Ahead. She was part of that felony assistance team that I talked about. And she said, had I known some of this when I was incarcerated, maybe I wouldn't have been incarcerated a second time because I would have had some guidance on where to go. So she was the very first, she and that group, they were the first to take Getting Ahead into the institution. Once they were completed, she called the author of Getting Ahead and said, we need to do a book for those who are incarcerated. There are a few different things. There are some hidden rules in prison. So she co-authored the book, Getting Ahead While Getting Out, with Phil Duvall, who's the original author of Getting Ahead and Just Getting By World. And she now gets to travel all over the United States and help people learn how to facilitate getting ahead while getting out in their communities. So that's a huge success story for us. That happened here in Marion. Someone who said, I'm done, I'm tired, I need to learn something to help me change my life. And she did just that. And there are lots of stories like that where we've seen people not realize their true potential because they didn't have support systems that pushed them to really recognize that that leadership within themselves. And, you know, we've had people who were older, maybe 60 years old, who came to us, and the biggest problem was I didn't have medical insurance. I have maybe some mental health issues that I can't address because I don't have the insurance to do it. So we help them, pair them with an ally. Now this person wasn't working. They are working, and they're thriving in our community. And so it can go very small, although be it a victory, to very large, like the gal I was talking about, the author of the book. And so we just want to help people have that opportunity to reach their true potential, no matter what that is, and celebrate those victories. Anytime you can improve your situation a little bit better than what it was yesterday, you're on the right path.
You know, one of the things that I think prevents this is there seems to be a lot of anger and envy, and this is not just Marion, all over. People don't want to see people get ahead. You know, I imagine a story like the one you just told, which is a wonderful story. I bet there are people who, well, you know, lucky her, but, you know, it's, you know, there's always that twinge, and I don't understand why people aren't motivated by their envy and maybe jealousy at the time to do that good. Who is stopping them from doing the same thing or something they want to do on that level?
Well, sometimes people get in their own way.
Yeah.
I think that's a true statement. But, you know, what we do has nothing to do with luck. It is hard work. So the people who are referred to us, they're not getting a handout. They're getting guidance to really figure things out on their own. They're putting in the hard work. They're going out and investigating things in our community. In fact, they're called investigators as they go through the getting ahead experience. And so they're putting in the work. So to say that people are lazy and just need to get a job is unfair, because these folks, the struggle is real every day, and when they start putting in some hard work because now they know something that they didn't know yesterday, we see lives change. And as, you know, we say that you know, together we make a difference in Marion, and we do that one individual at a time. And as those individuals start to realize their true potential and they start to do better in the community, our community benefits, because when those people are working and they are productive in society, we can pass levies. We can have those dollars here locally to do the things that we want to do. So why people don't embrace that, I don't know. Why people, like I said, I think people get in their own way. But, you know, I think that has changed in this community, Scott, also, because I think there are a lot of people now who are going, it's up to me. I think we have oftentimes had the attitude, someone else will do that. But, you know, it's up to us to take our community back. Each and every one of us play a part in this community that we live in. And it's up to us to take the community back. So if there are things that you believe in, stand up for those things. If there are people that you believe in, stand up for those people. Encourage those people. It's not fair to say they're never going to amount to anything, because you're speaking death over their situation. We have life and death in our tongue, and it's time that we start speaking life here in Maryland.
I think you're right, and I think encouragement is very important. You tell people you did a good job. You're great at what you do. I mean, too much infighting for some reason. But tonight, if you want to ask a question that I did not ask that today, you can ask Heidi these questions tonight, because it's a speed date your local leaders put on by the League of Women Voters here of Marion. It's at the Marion Senior Center, 2375 Harding Highway East, right out just beyond Marcus Schools. 6:30 to 8:30 tonight. Chief Bill Collins, Jim Slagle, Ken Stiverson, Tim Bailey, the Sheriff, Mayor Schertzer, Clarissa Myers from Downtown Marion, Rich Ramey from the Robotics Department, Ted Graham from Inner Mobile Industries, Dean Jacob, Marion Community Foundation, and of course our guest today, Heidi Jones from Marion Matters. Heidi, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
It was a lot of fun. WWGH Radio Time, 12:59. Stay tuned.
From legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a chuck full of Nuggets. They sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
Well, look, we